Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, and I just want to welcome you to our worship stream today. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, family fellowship, and community or neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God that is poured in our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are welcome to this stream. If you have any prayer needs or prayer requests, please feel free to share them with us, and we will pray with and for you. I know there's a lot going on in our country and in the world, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear, a lot of pain, suffering, in various ways, whether through health or job loss and so on, family displacements and whatnot. And God has given us the powerful gift of prayer so that we may have the assurance that he is with us, and that he is in it with us and will see us through. So we will definitely pray for and with you. And during these uncertain times, I encourage all of us to pray. To pray for and to do and say the things that make for peace. That we may be peacemakers as Jesus asks us to do. That we will bring light to the dark places in our spheres of influence. That we will be purveyors of love, not hate, during these uncertain times. And that we will spread the hope of Jesus that assures us that he is with us, he is in this with us, and that he will see us through this as he has promised. Because God loves us, God cares for us, and God wants the best for us. That's who he is for us. Today we are going to be pausing on our series on We Are GCR, that is We Are Grace Communion Richardson, the sharing I've been doing with you about the ministry avenues of hope, faith, and love. And today I want to share about Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving is next week. I want to talk about the importance of an attitude of gratitude, a lifestyle of gratitude and generosity. And then I will return next Sunday to our series and talk about the ministry avenue of faith. Right now, specifically to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your heart and for your dedication to the Lord throughout these past several months of difficulties and challenges. Thank you for working together, for supporting each other, connecting with each other, helping each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other. I want to say thank you for walking and working together during these difficult times. And a special thank you to my leadership team, the Avenue Champions team, the Advisory Council, and so on. And thank you to our online worship stream production and communication team for all the hard work over these various months. I am grateful, and I'm sure, in fact, I know that God does not forget all the labors of love that are shared in his name and to his glory. And I also want to say thank you for your generous financial support throughout all of this. Your donations are tax deductible, and they are very helpful in advancing the gospel of the kingdom and expanding the kingdom of God. So thank you for your generosity. If you are moved, anyone out there, to join in supporting this gospel effort financially, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can do so. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. God bless. Now let's join our praise team for a praise song, and then I'll come back for today's message. Please stay with us.
Oh,
All right, now for the main message for today. But before we get into it, let's say a word of prayer. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for the blessing of your word, your written word that points us to the living word, our Savior Jesus, who is the center of the center of all we are and that we do, at least should be. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word today, that your word may transform our hearts and that we may not be merely hearers of your word, but doers of your word, sharers of your word, encouragers with your word, supporting and helping and sharing with each other, especially during this season of Thanksgiving. And I pray this in the name of the one who makes it all possible, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. Someone once said that the most widespread sin is the sin of ingratitude. And they may have a point. Sometimes I pause and I ask myself, how grateful am I, especially when going through tough times, when going through difficult times, when going through times when it seems all the stars, so to speak, are aligned against me, when it seems like everything I touch, unlike King Midas, turns to dust rather than gold, when it seems that no matter what I do, I make the same mistakes over and over again, or I fall short. And then I reminded to pause and to count my blessings and to be grateful, to be thankful, to be appreciative of the good things in my life. Because you see, friend, life is not only one thing. As human beings, we go through tough times, difficult times, challenging times, tumultuous times, traumatic times, but we also hopefully go through joyous times and memorable times and captivating times and beautiful times and fun times. And we learn, especially through our relationship with God, to be thankful, to be appreciative, to be grateful, to learn to focus on the positive, the praiseworthy things. You know, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that in one of his passages. So whatsoever things are true and honorable and noble, lovely, he says to focus on such things. So I wanted to share a little bit about the subject of gratitude. Do you live a life of gratitude? I know 2020 has been one of the most challenging, turbulent, uncertain years in a while, with a lot of losses, a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of disappointments and uncertainties and fears. And you would wonder, is there anything to be thankful for this year? Especially as we approach Thanksgiving. Is there anything to be thankful for during these hard times? What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? In fact, in some places we've been told you can't even get together for Thanksgiving, at least not in the same way that we've been used to. Do you have an attitude of gratitude even during these difficult times? I want us to talk about that, the significance of a lifestyle of gratitude. You see, this Thanksgiving may be the first major holiday that a number of you may be observing without a loved one. You may be observing this Thanksgiving holiday with grief, with sadness, because of the death of a loved one, or because of a job loss, or because of so many other issues related to COVID or some other matter that this year has sprung on all of us, not only here in the United States, but around the world. My heart goes out to all of you in said circumstances, especially those of you who've lost loved ones or lost a job or are in serious health condition. It's been truly a difficult year, to say the least. Is there a reason to be thankful, even in these times? I believe that there are many reasons to be thankful. This year and always. I believe that we have every reason to be thankful even during the difficult and challenging times of our lives. In Acts chapter 10, I'm going to use the story of Cornelius to describe this attitude of gratitude. Now, Cornelius is not specifically identified, quote unquote, as a grateful person. But that's the thing about a grateful person. A grateful person shows, manifests that heart, that attitude of gratitude in certain ways. They exhibit, they portray, they exude certain characteristics. And I want us to spend some time looking at three of those characteristics today. Characteristics that shows this attitude of gratitude. So in Acts chapter 10, we have the story of Cornelius. Cornelius and his household are recognized as the very first converts, the first Gentile converts to Christianity. Now, who is a Gentile? A Gentile is one who is not Jewish. A Gentile is one who is not an Israelite. So if you are not an Israelite, then you are a Gentile. That's kind of how the description is made in Bible times. And so Cornelius was not an Israelite. He was not Jewish. Even though he was a proselyte, that is, he became a believer in Judaism, in the Jewish religion, in the sense that he came to believe in one God and followed the teachings of the Jews to the best of his ability, even though he was not ethnically, culturally Jewish. He and his household. Cornelius was a captain of a regiment of 100 people. And so he was described as a centurion. Someone who was a captain of 100. In the Roman regiment, as it was called, for the Roman Empire. So he actually was from an Italian background, not a Jewish background, and as such he was a Gentile. Verse 1, the 10th chapter of Acts, says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. One day, and God-fearing, he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And so he had a conversation in this vision with an angel. I'm going to just read excerpt from this chapter, the 10th chapter of Acts chapter 10, the 10th chapter of Acts. So let's jump down to verse 22. So we see here Cornelius is described as a devout man, both he and his household, a God-fearing person. Now we'll come back to that when we talk about the characteristics of an attitude of gratitude. He was a God-fearing person, and he is also described as generous to those in need. This is in verse 2. Cornelius was God-fearing and he was generous. Verse 22, he's had this vision and he'd been told by an angel to go and find Peter and ask Peter to come to his house with a message that God has for him. So in verse 22, the man that Cornelius sent found Peter in the house of Simon the tanner. In verse 22, the man responded to Peter. We're breaking into the story here. We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man. Again, we see the description of Cornelius, who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. By inference, what you have to say from God, what God has for him through Peter. Verse 24. The following day, Peter arrived in Caesarea with the men that Cornelius had sent to fetch him. Cornelius was expecting Peter and his party and had called together his relatives and close friends. Again, watch this. So here is a man who had a vision while he was praying to God. And God told him, send for Peter. I have a message for you through him. And he sends for Peter. But he is now waiting to receive Peter, not by himself. He's included a whole bunch of other people to hear the message that God has for him through Peter. He called together, scripture says, his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, verse 25, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. I'm just like you. I'm no, you know, superhuman. I'm no special than you are, Cornelius, Peter told him. So, verse 26 is when Peter asked Cornelius to get up. Let's jump down to verse 30. So Peter says, okay, here I am. What's going on? And Cornelius repeated the reason why he sent for Peter to come to his house. Verse 30, Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, that is at 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner. The Simons were staying together, who lives by the sea. So Simon the tanner's house was by the sea, and Peter was a guest with him. Verse 33, so I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we all are here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. You begin to see a certain attitude that Cornelius has. And not only is a humility being exhibited here, a certain modesty. This is a captain of a regiment, a captain of 100. He had responsibility in the Roman world. He was a man of authority at his level. And you can see a certain attitude that flows from this Gentile, this man towards Peter and towards others. says, I am here with all my household, friends, and relatives to hear everything that the Lord has for us. The Lord wants us to hear. And then Peter began to share with Cornelius and his household the amazing story of grace, the story of Jesus, the story of God's love expressed through the giving of his son, who went to Calvary, who went to the cross, and who died, was entombed, and was raised on the third day. Peter shared the story, the good news, the gospel of God's love, of salvation, of hope that we have, of resurrection, of the compassion and grace of God towards all. And Peter recognized, and he says this, as a result of this encounter with Cornelius and his house, he recognized that God does not show favoritism to anyone. That he welcomes all, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter where you are in life, he welcomes. And God affirmed that by pouring his spirit visibly, the same way that he did with the apostles on the day of Pentecost. He poured his spirit on Cornelius and his house, and they also began to speak in different languages, just like the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. And then the last verse of this story, in verse 48, after Peter asked that Cornelius and his household be baptized, and after they were baptized, then Cornelius asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. You see here again a spirit of graciousness, a spirit of generosity that Cornelius is exhibiting. He invited Peter and his party to stay with them for a few more days before they leave. He wanted to share his house with them. You know, he basically gave Peter and his party refrigerator rights to his home, so to speak. See again that spirit of generosity that Cornelius was known for. Where do you believe that that comes from, that spirit of generosity? Well, I want to posit that that spirit of generosity comes from a grateful heart. It comes from a heart that is full of thanks, that is full of gratitude, that is full of appreciation. But for who or for what? Well, we've been told again and again in this story, Cornelius' relationship with God, and he's described as a God-fearing person, a devout person. So Cornelius, a Gentile convert to Judaism and a convert to Christianity, the first Gentile convert to Christianity as recorded in Scripture, in this passage in Acts, was a grateful person. And that spirit of gratitude, that attitude of gratitude is seen, is characterized by three things that I want to share out of this with you. This gratitude is stemming from his relational knowing of God, a relationship of love that he had going with God, and a relationship of love that he was willing to extend to others around him. It's a relationship of love, of faith, and of hope that he had with God. And he expresses gratitude in a lifestyle of generosity, in a lifestyle of inclusion, in a lifestyle of sharing. He included and shared with others the blessings that he recognized to come from God. He did not consider what he had and who he was as from himself, but as gifts and blessings from God. And he was willing to share as a result. He was not willing to hold on tight, because his relationship with God, his knowing of God, showed him that that's not how God is. That's not who God is. God is not tight-fisted. God is a sharing God. And Cornelius began to manifest, reflect God's nature and character of giving, of sharing. So there are three things, three characteristics that this story of Cornelius in Acts 10 springs to my mind that I want to share with you. So these, for me, are three fundamental characteristics of an attitude of gratitude. And the first is a godly relationship. In other words, a relationship with God that we see here in the story of Cornelius. A relational understanding of the goodness and graciousness of God. That all you have comes from God. It's by virtue of the blessing and grace of God. That's what Cornelius understood. And he did not have any sense of entitlement as a result. Even though he was a captain, a centurion in a Roman regiment, he did not have any sense of entitlement. He recognized that it is by God's grace that he was where he was and had what he had, and he was willing to share it. This attitude, this understanding that whoever we are, that is good, that is positive, that is noble, that is lovely, as I said earlier, is from God, is echoed by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 7. I'm not going to turn there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, I'm paraphrasing what Paul says. He was talking to the church at Corinth, because some of them had a certain attitude that seems to project themselves, certain prideful attitude, certain entitled attitude. And Paul was saying, what do you have that you did not receive? Granted, it was said within specifically the context of the gospel. Where did they get the gospel? Except through Paul and his partners. But that principle is true for us in life. What do you have that you did not receive? You know, in the U.S. especially, we have this saying of, oh, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Paul's question will be, and where did you get the boot? How did you come about the boot? It is an acknowledgement of the grace and the generosity of God. That it is God who is the owner and giver of all good gifts, all perfect gifts. And the perfect gift is Jesus. And Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. God not only has given us all of the things of the earth and of the world, breath to breathe and sun on us and rain for crops and produce and ability to mine whatever is in the earth and all the things that we are able to live off of as a result of God's provision. In addition to that, he gives us relationships, he gives us certain understandings and attitudes like hope, love, faith, trust, perseverance, endurance. He gives us talents in the area of music, in the area of math and science, in arts. God gives us all of these things freely. And of course, it's up to us what we do with them and how we do with them. But what it is that you have that you did not receive, ultimately. I'm not saying that we don't work hard for what we have. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the raw materials were not made by us. we were given the ability, the capacity, and the raw materials to do, to create, to be creative, to be innovative, to share. And that is all from God. God is the owner and the giver. Let me amend that. God is the greatest giver. He is the ultimate owner and giver of all things good, all things that we enjoy. That's the first characteristic of an attitude of gratitude, a recognition in relationship with God of His goodness and of His grace towards us, of His love towards us. And this we see in the life of Cornelius. The second fundamental characteristic of an attitude of gratitude is the attitude of graciousness that we learn from God. If we are in a relationship with God, then you recognize the grace of God. We have this saying, it's a common parlance, there go I but for the grace of God. Well, that is true for the other person that we sometimes say this in relationship to, because we see somebody and they are going through a very bad time or a very difficult situation, and we recognize our own comparatively better circumstances, and then we say, there go I, but for the grace of God. Well, the grace of God is not limited to us. The grace of God is with that person, even in whatever situation that they are in as well. We just don't see it yet, or we don't recognize it yet, because it's different. But this graciousness of God for a person with an attitude of gratitude engenders that graciousness that is received from God, recognized from God, accepted from God, to be extended towards others. And so we see how gracious Cornelius was, even with his own family, with his relatives, with his friends, and I dare say with his team of soldiers that he was a captain of. The team of 100 that he was captaining. You read the story of Cornelius in Acts 10 and you see a gracious person. He implored Peter and his party to stay on for a few more days, to share in his home and in his life, to have refrigerator rights, so to speak. He was gracious towards a Jew that he had never met before until God asked him to send for Peter. He may have heard about Peter, but never met him until then. And he was gracious. So the recognition of God's grace, even in the midst of life's trauma and challenges, and extending that grace towards others, is a significant characteristic of an attitude of gratitude. So it is in this understanding of grace, and in this desire to share that grace, that we forgive one another, that we say sorry to one another, that we support one another, that we cut each other some slack, that we are patient with one another, that we persevere with one another, helping each other, encouraging each other, supporting each other. We join Jesus in being gracious and hospitable. And we talked about hospitality last time. So graciousness is a significant characteristic of a person with an attitude of gratitude. They are not harsh, lashing out towards others. So a lot of people who do that are people who are not counting their blessings, because they feel wrong. They feel like everyone is against them, and they lash out. They do not stop to see what is going on in this multi-dimensional life that we all live. Friends, life is not all one thing. Life is multi-dimensional. There are a lot of things going on in our lives at the same time. And sometimes we make the mistake of focusing on one, and invariably, being human as we are, we focus on the negative. And when we make that one negative thing the whole of our lives, and we live a miserable life, and we lash out, the spirit and attitude of gratitude helps us to pause and consider other aspects of our lives that are positive, not negative. Even in the midst of challenges and trials and trauma, we can find positive things if we are open to them. And it is through this graciousness, as we understand God's presence in our lives, God's goodness in our lives, God's love in our lives, God's support in our lives, that we then extend towards others. We recognize when others are going through pain, when others are going through difficulties, and we are willing to extend that same grace that we've received from God to them. That's what Cornelius did. The third fundamental characteristic of an attitude of gratitude is generosity. The person who has an attitude of gratitude lives a generous lifestyle, as we see in the story of Cornelius. Cornelius lived a generous lifestyle. And when I talk about generous lifestyle, friends, I'm not just talking about giving out money. It may be part of it, but a generous lifestyle goes beyond just money. An attitude and lifestyle of gratitude leads to a life of generosity. A generosity with your time is a life of generosity. A generosity with your talent, whatever the talents may be, and we usually have more than one talent as human beings. A generosity with your treasure, and that may include money. A generosity with your personality. A generosity with your energy. A lifestyle of generosity, friends, involves being open. Wisely so, yes. Discerningly so, yes. Being like the Good Samaritan, yes. But it's a generosity that flows from the generosity that we ourselves receive from God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, the most generous person you will ever meet. And so an attitude of gratitude leads to this lifestyle of generosity. A sense in which you are not tight-fisted. It's an attitude in which you are not miserly. An attitude in which you do not just grasp to whatever you are or have. All you want to do is to accumulate and accumulate. It's never enough. An attitude of gratitude leads to generosity, not greed. An attitude of generosity shares, helps, supports, encourages others. And there are some people who are very good with this lifestyle. They're willing to take off their last shirt and give it to somebody who is in need, because they are paying it forward in their hearts. They recognize how blessed they've been. And they are willing to share it with others because they are image bearers of the greatest giver in the entire universe, Jesus. They are willing to give and to give of themselves, even unto death for some people, just as Jesus. That's where the attitude of gratitude leads to a lifestyle of generosity. In Hebrews chapter 13, this is what the writer of Hebrews reminds us of when it comes to having a grateful heart, being thankful, and this attitude of gratitude flowing out of a relationship with God, flowing out of the graciousness that we receive and that we extend, flowing out of a spirit of generosity. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the writer of Hebrews says this: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Now, in the King James and other translations, it says something like this: the fruit of lips that gives thanks. That gives thanks. And I actually prefer that translation, even though I'm using the NIV right now. We continually give thanks to God. And it's described as a sacrifice of praise, giving thanks. Verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So the writer of Hebrews is affirming what we just learned from the life of Cornelius, that an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of giving thanks is not only through the lips of thanksgiving and of praise, which is great, which is good that we do so, and we should do so all of the time. We should thank God verbally. We should do so. We should tell our stories, and I'll turn to a scripture that says that as well. But we should also do. And the writer of Hebrews describes this as doing, not forgetting to do good and to share with others. And those are sacrifices, he said. Because yes, friends, to be generous, to have an attitude of gratitude and to live it out in graciousness, to live it out in a lifestyle of generosity involves sacrifices. It involves sacrifices. It involves the sacrifices of time, sacrifice of talent, sacrifice of energy, sacrifice of treasures, sacrifice of your personality, and so on. It involves sacrifice. And in the New Testament, these are the sacrifices God looks to see in our lives, as contrasted with the Old Covenant sacrifices of animals. God says in the New Testament, you don't have to sacrifice an animal. You sacrifice yourself in a spirit of gratitude, in a spirit of graciousness, in a spirit of generosity. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding us of that. So the continual expression of a thank offering in word and in deed flows out of an attitude of gratitude that is both spoken and acted upon. So what about you, friend? Are you thankful even this year, 2020, and everything else has been going on, all the hardships that we've been going through? Do you have an attitude of gratitude during these challenging times? Is your attitude of gratitude based in these three characteristics? Is it based on a knowing relationship of God, of God's goodness, of God's graciousness, of God's love that is expressed in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to pay it forward if you recognize the handprints of hope, the fingerprints of hope in your life? Are you willing, like Cornelius, to share it? I pray you do. That's how we are better together. That's how the world is transformed, one person at a time. God's blessings are not only material things, friends. Even more precious are the spiritual blessings of hope, of faith, of love, of joy, of relationships, of comfort, of encouragement, and above all, the incredible gift of the Son of God, Jesus, who is the gift that keeps on giving. As we participate in His life, then we become people with an attitude of gratitude, people who are gracious, people who are generous, people who live and move and have our being in God. We have every reason to be thankful, friend, even during these challenging times. And we have every reason to tell the story of why we are thankful, even in difficult times. To tell the story of the love and goodness of God. at Psalm, and this is the last scripture I'm going to quote, Psalm 107 and verse 1-3. Psalm 107. I will urge you, find time to read all of Acts 10 about the life of Cornelius, the story there specifically about his conversion to Christianity. And this is before he was recognized as a Christian, by the way, his life of generosity, because he was already in relationship with God. But also, please find the time to read Psalm 107, all of that chapter, because it tells us that even in the midst of hardship, God is in it with us, in them with us, and we still have cause and reason to give thanks. And so it says in verse 1, the 107th chapter of Psalm, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe or the enemy. Those he gathered from the lands from east and west and from north and south. From the four corners of the world, those who have been redeemed by God should tell their story, the psalmist says, of the goodness and the love of God that endures forever. I hope we all do that, even during these difficult times of 2020. I look forward to sharing with you next time as we continue on our series about the ministry avenues of hope, faith, and love, as I specifically continue sharing about the faith avenue. Let us continue to engage in the life and in the mission of love of Jesus Christ, showing gratitude and thanks and appreciation for all of his blessings in our lives, and sharing that story with others. I look forward to being with you next time. Right now, please join our praise team for a praise song, and I'll see you next Sunday. God bless.
My Savior, oh, there is none. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.